I'd like to take just a few minutes this morning to talk with you about endurance. I'm going to use a real-life example from modern life, and then we'll read a couple of scriptures and make some probably well-known comparisons. The Olympics just wrapped up a couple weeks ago, and some of those events are endurance events. There are long-distance running, long-distance swimming, which sounds crazy to me, swimming multiple miles at a time for the very long-distance meets, although it's all in meters, so you can't really tell how far it is. And there are some long-distance cycling events. But the Olympics don't actually have the endurance cycling events. It's not long enough. The Tour de France actually wrapped up just before the Olympics started, just a few days before the Olympics started. And that, if you don't know, is a tour all around France. That's not a surprise. But it takes 3 weeks, and they go about 3,000 miles. It's a very, very long race. They only get 2 days off, so they're riding a very long way. But there's another race. There's another race called the Ram. It's called the Race Across America. And it goes and starts in the San Diego area, in Oceanside, and goes up through the high deserts of Arizona and crosses the mountains in Colorado and crosses the Great Plains and ends up in Missouri and Ohio and West Virginia. And eventually you wind up in Maryland and you end in Annapolis, Maryland, on the other coast. That's also 3,000 miles. But you do it all at once. And I want to talk to you about a particular racer. Her name is Leah Goldstein. She raced this year. She's a professional racer. She rides on a team professionally. She's a formal martial arts instructor with the IDF, which is the Israeli Defense Force. So she's pretty tough. She's about as tough as they come. And this year was her third time racing Ram. She crashed once in a professional race, and it almost ended her life. So she's a very strong woman. She's a very powerful woman. She's not to be trifled with, obviously, if that is her past. I want to talk to you about her preparation. To ride 3,000 miles by yourself is an incredible thing to even think about. She trained differently than she had in past years. In past years, she would train on hill climbing because you lose a lot of time going up the mountains, going through Colorado and going through West Virginia. It's really steep and it's really slow going. It slows your average pace down considerably. But this year, she didn't do that. She decided to train for power on the flats so that she could cruise along on the straight roads and then just suffer on the climbs like anyone else would. She also trained for something called Schirmer's Neck, which, if you can imagine the position on a racing bicycle, you're craning your neck out over the handlebars, and what will happen is your neck will literally fatigue to the point where you cannot hold it up. And so racers have done all sorts of things to counteract this. They'll put on those crazy neck braces. They'll jerry-rig some sort of thing to prop their head up. So she trained with a weighted helmet. She put weights on her head to train for this crazy thing. She also, when the time came to do the race, she shaved the back of her head, and she cut her hair short, and she got some French braids, some cornrows, basically, with her hair, and she embedded cord into those braids and tied her head up. Wove those cords into her own hair, and so for over a week, she had, it felt like someone pulling her hair. Along with all the other things that she endured, she had someone, you know, she had herself pulling her own hair, and that was a decision she made. She chose a conservative sleep strategy. Those are her words, a conservative sleep strategy. She decided to get more sleep early on, and then the sleep would taper off as the race continued. So she decided on 48 hours riding, followed by 3 hours of sleep. And the first several cycles would be like that. And then, when the race got tough, she'd switch to 24 hours of racing with 90 minutes of sleep. And here's a quote, "If there was the possibility of me winning, we could always cut that down." This was also one of the most grueling years of the race, because if you remember early July, across most of the nation, there was a heat wave. And so while you expect it to be 115 in Death Valley and across Arizona, you don't expect that across the Great Plains. You certainly don't expect that in Ohio and Minnesota and many other places across the country, places that she had to ride through. And so to deal with that, they were filling ice. They were filling pantyhose with ice and draping them around her neck, because she preferred pounds and pounds of ice over the heat. Every 15 minutes, they would hand her a bucket of ice water to dump over her head. And they even went and bought one of those pump sprayers and filled that with ice water just to mist her down every once in a while. They tried everything to keep her cool. This race was so hard that this year only 3 people finished. And less than a mile from the finish, she's in Annapolis somewhere, in Annapolis. She lost control of her body. Suddenly her heart rate spiked over 200 beats per minute. Her arms were trembling uncontrollably. She couldn't stand or walk. The team got her off the bike. They got her under a tree. And they sat there and they regrouped. She said, "This is what death must feel like." They sat under that tree for over an hour. And they eventually got her body restored enough that she could stand. She could not ride. She could not pedal the bike. She's less than a mile from the finish line. So she put on shoes. She took her bike and she walked up a hill. And she crested that hill, got on her bike, and coasted to the finish line. She couldn't pedal. And so 3,037.8 miles later, 11 days, 3 hours, and 3 minutes in since she started, at an average pace of 11.38 miles per hour, she finished. She won the women's division. She actually won the race outright. The first time a woman has ever won this race since 1982. She won by over 16 hours. The next place finisher was still 150 miles away. He would finish the next day. Can you imagine a race so hard that only 3 people finish? Many people started. Some people made it only a few hundred miles before they had to stop. Some people made it a few thousand miles. One person made it almost to the 3,000 mile mark. They were almost done, and they couldn't make it. She almost didn't make it. And so I want to read a few passages about endurance and make some applications. I'm going to start with Hebrews chapter 12 and the first 4 verses. Again, these are all well-worn verses in our Bibles, I'm sure. It reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding of blood." Run with endurance, he says. Remove every weight, every clinging sin, and focus. Focus on Jesus. Look at how he did it. He endured shame from sinners. He endured hostility from sinners. He endured the cross from sinners. Don't grow weary. You've not yet resisted to the point of blood. It hasn't killed you. I dare say it almost killed this lady. I think she really did almost die. I think she pushed herself to that limit. She trained with weights, but she took the weights off when it was time to race. No one would be so stupid as to leave the ankle weights on when it's time to actually race. So what weights are you still carrying? Which snares are you enjoying? What do you like tripping on? The next passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 26. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others I myself should be disqualified. Only one racer wins. She knew that. Only one racer wins. And she did absolutely everything to win. She was not going light. She was not going easy. 11.38 miles an hour does not sound very fast. It's not very fast, by the way. But when you're doing 275 miles a day, it's pretty fast. She sacrificed and suffered for her crown. She decided that race title was worth it. I think she's a little crazy. Because no trophy's worth that. No trophy on this earth is worth that. She made her body an absolute slave. That's what the Greek means there. Make your body a slave for your goal. She did that. She was not a slave to her body. So who's the slave in your life? Do you get to enslave your body, or does your body enslave you? And the final verse is in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. During the Sermon on the Mount. Verses 29 and 30. Matthew chapter 5. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body to go into hell. She cut out everything unnecessary for her goal. She cut out her own hair. She cut out sleep. She cut out rest and recovery. There was nothing sacred in her quest for this goal, for this prize. Again, to the point of insanity, we would think. That goal, that drive, is still admirable and is still something that we should think about in our spiritual race. So how are you racing? Are you taking it seriously? Are you taking it as seriously as she takes it? I gotta admit, sometimes I'm not. That's pretty extreme. Are you taking your spiritual race that seriously? Luckily, this metaphor breaks down. Because in a physical race, only one person gets to win. And I'm thankful, and I hope you are thankful, that me winning the race doesn't preclude you from winning the race, and vice versa. Leah Goldstein is what racing, endurance racing, looks like at the highest levels. There is nothing crazier than this. There are things that are as crazy as this in the world of running and things. But it doesn't get more nuts. It doesn't get more extreme. It doesn't get more dedicated. We could go on for absolutely forever about all the different applications and the ways in which you can apply this kind of intensity to your spiritual life. I think Paul had that intensity. And that's the intensity that we all need to have and that we all need to engender in our lives and to teach our families. And so that's the lesson for you today. We need to run with endurance. We need to become a little bit more intense in our race, in our spiritual journey. If you're not a Christian, we hope you become one. We hope that you take your spiritual life seriously. You have a soul. God cares about your soul, and God has told you how to save your soul. If you are ready to put on Jesus in baptism and start that walk, we can help you. We can do that with you today. If you're not ready but you're interested, we can study with you. And if you are already on that journey and you took a rest on the side of the road for a while, we can help. We can come. We can pray for you. We can encourage you. You just have to let us know. If there's anything we can do for you at all, please come forward as we stand and as we sing the song.